Hello from Valley Baptist Church in Eureka, Montana. Valley Baptist Church is an independent Baptist church serving the greater Eureka, Montana area. Pastor Matt Schrepfer is the pastor. His wife, Juanetta, serves along his side.
Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the beautiful wonderland outside that's all white. I enjoy it. While Valerie plays through a verse or two for us, let's prepare our hearts for the service ahead with thanksgiving, of course. As we begin, I think it's only right that we sing to God, "Come, thou fount of every blessing." I hope you're thankful for the many blessings in your lives, but also thank him for who he is. Joshua, come lead us in 553, "Come, thou fount of every blessing."
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to.
Trust you prayed that as you sang that, dear. It's a precious song that many in our church family really do enjoy. Let's also pray and honor God and thank him for who he is, but also the many blessings he gives us. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for gathering us together today. What a joy this is to be with others who know you and have the promise of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you that you are the creator of all things and the sustainer of all things. And the snow that is outside has a purpose in bringing water back to us in the summer months. And Father God, I ask you that we would recognize afresh that the hydraulic cycle and all of that is just a part of your design, but much more than that, you care about the souls of each and every one of us in this room, that you have prepared eternity for us. And it is simple enough for us that through faith, through receiving the gift of salvation, it is ours for eternity. Father, I ask you that during this week ahead, as we think on Thanksgiving and certainly often food and the meal later in this day together, that our hearts would be thankful to you for who you are, that you are perfect and holy and righteous, and that you love us. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Oh, Father God, I ask you that throughout the week ahead, we would express that to other people too, that you would draw people in our valley, in our community, to salvation also. And in this hour, I ask you, Father God, that you would be the one who is worshipped and honored in every way. You deserve that in our singing together, as we just did in prayer time like this, in the opening of the scriptures, and in giving and in the fellowship together around the meal, that Jesus Christ would be exalted. Thank you for our Savior. We pray these things in his precious name. Amen. Well, I would like to thank all of you for being out on a day like this. It's not a bad day. I think it's a beautiful day.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the land of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He held them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men that would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen.
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 Oh,
God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We will be in the book of Nehemiah in a few minutes. If you want to find your way there, you may do that. I am going to start, though, in 2 Thessalonians. I've been preaching through 1 Thessalonians, and we finished up a week ago. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4, we find an appropriate passage in regard to Thanksgiving, don't we? 2, 3, and 4 of 1 Thessalonians 1. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. I can't help but think of our dear church family as we pray daily as a couple. We thank God for you all, and in so many ways, about your growing faith and the love you show toward one another and toward us. When we're past the first of the year, I plan to preach through 2 Thessalonians also, as I was in 1 Thessalonians up until now. But I can't just leave it at that. I have to say today, as we begin in this hour, my heart is I want to thank God for him, but for you too. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your incredible grace to us, that you have reached down and, as a prophet of yours said, plucked us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock. And we know that we're in the miry clay of a sinful world around us, and certainly the Lord Jesus Christ is that rock, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We thank you for placing our feet upon the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know there's figurative language in that, and yet, Lord God, I do thank you for the salvation that you've given us and how it affects each other's lives. And this dear church family, Father God, I thank you for each one, and that we're growing in our faith in Christ, that we're growing in our knowledge of your word, and that as we serve you, we also we see your love expressed from person to person. Father, thank you for the love that is shown among our dear church family. And I ask you that you would be the one who, in this day, is honored and glorified with genuine thanks from our hearts to you for gathering us together, but for many other blessings that you bring into our lives as well. Father, if there's someone here with a need today, a spiritual need especially, a physical need maybe, whatever it may be, I ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would be the one who meets that need and through us as well, that we would be part of your answering prayers like this among each other. Thank you again for our time together. I ask that you would bless it for your honor and glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for bearing with me as I started in 2 Thessalonians. We'll be going back to Nehemiah. You can do that. It is just before Psalms. Psalms tends to be in the middle of your Bible. If you go back to the book of Job, before Psalms, so we're talking about going backwards. I know I think different sometimes. Before Job is Nehemiah, okay? And you'll find it that way. It's amazing how soon, or so it seems, that Thanksgiving rolls around again. It seems like it wasn't long ago, and we were enjoying Thanksgiving. Now it's last year. Most think about the preparation and the big multi-course meals that we enjoy, usually eaten most of the day on Thursday. I came across this little poem that you might enjoy. I'm not a big fan of reading poetry per se in a public setting like this, but I think this one might be fun. May your stuffing be tasty. May your turkey be plump. May your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious and your pies win a prize. May your Thanksgiving dinner stay off your thighs. We often remember the 3-day feast at Plymouth Plantation. You've probably read about that as a grade schooler and maybe even cut out paper headdresses like the Indians may have and things like that. You might remember it that way, where there were several hundred pilgrims and their neighboring Indian friends in 1621. By the way, President George Washington proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving as early as 1789 in honor of the ratification of the Constitution of the United States. In the mid-1800s, Sarah Joseph Hale, editor of Godet's Lady Book, led a movement to establish Thanksgiving as a national holiday. In 1863, during the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday of November Thanksgiving Day. He said, in part, "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy." After the war, Congress established Thanksgiving as a national holiday. Now, most people in our land go day to day without even thinking to give thanks to the Most High God. That's the way it is across our land nowadays, so it seems. And if they think this week to give thanks at all, they may thank the earth for the bounty. Lately, Juanetta and I have watched a few episodes on the History Channel of folks who live in the Arctic, and when they harvest a moose, and it troubles me, they very reverently thank the moose. It bothers me. If they take a grouse, with reverence, say, "Thank you, bird." Hope you get the point. I've heard people say, "Thank you, land." And I know you've heard similar. And that troubles me and it makes me ache inside. It is the Most High God, as Abraham Lincoln said, who provides for us. In our Bibles, 24 verses state it this way: thanks to God. And one of them, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, says, "Now thanks be to God." And the words "giving thanks," implying to God, show up in nine verses. By the way, here's an example of that. Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's our example. I hope you practice that this week. The words "thankworthy" and "thank" and "thanksgiving" show up in 55 more verses in our Bibles. So thanksgiving to God is His idea. It is our duty and ought to be our delight to do so. How are you doing giving thanks to God? I hope you're doing well at that every day. Are you giving thanks to God for all things? Remember when we were just a few weeks ago back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." How are you doing with that? A challenge. A Thanksgiving challenge that I believe is biblical and appropriate. One of the most delightful Thanksgiving celebrations in the Bible is found in the book of Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah, we can have fun with his name. It's not an unusual, it's not a usual name. Does anyone know a Nehemiah? Anybody? I don't. Okay, nobody in the room seems to know a Nehemiah. You remember in the New Testament, there was a very short man named Zacchaeus who climbed up in a sycamore tree to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a wee little man we sing in that children's song. Well, then there's Nehemiah also. That's pretty short. He's shorter than Zacchaeus must have been, right? He was just Nehemiah. But did you know there's someone shorter in the Bible? Bildad the Shuhite. He was one of Job's friends. Some of you are probably thinking, wasn't there a guard who fell asleep on his watch? He must have been small in stature too. No, Nehemiah is not about his stature. Not at all. In fact, he was not physically, but he was a big man in the eyes of God because God used him in a great way, and it's an incredible account. As we will see in Nehemiah, when the new walls were dedicated in Jerusalem and the people gave thanks, everyone around heard it. All the cities and neighbors and the nations around heard their Thanksgiving proclamation, or their Thanksgiving songs and festivities. So, what led up to the joy that was heard afar off, as we will read? Well, I believe it's evident that there were four primary elements. The first one has to do with the people. Let's look at verse 26 of Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 26. I'm going to try to pronounce names the best I can. Okay, Nehemiah 12, 26. There were in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Jeshua, the son of Josadak, and in the days of Nehemiah, the governor, and of Ezra, the priest, the scribe. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. Let me give you a little background here. Nearly 150 years before this, Jerusalem was sacked by the Babylonians. King Nebuchadnezzar sent his armies in, and they destroyed the temple, and they broke down the wall and burnt the city and took captives, men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, over to Babylon. That was nearly 150 years before what we just read about. And the walls came down. I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles 36 because it does lay the gives us some information, I should say. 2 Chronicles 36, toward the end of the Chronicles, by the way. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. I'll read verses 17 through 20. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Nehemiah lived in the days of about 445 BC. Persian rule had taken over Babylon. The capital of Persia was Susa. The palace was in Shushan. You can read about that in Nehemiah chapter 1. The king's name was Artaxerxes. And the time was 446 to 434 BC. Nehemiah was used of God to ask King Artaxerxes that he might be able to make a return trip and rebuild the walls to protect the city of Jerusalem that was being rebuilt also by the scribe Ezra and others. Nehemiah was in fervent prayer three times in just chapter 1. He said, "I beseech thee, O Lord." Most Jewish people stayed in Babylon and Assyria, and Nehemiah led a group back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, and they faced opposition all along the way. There were several who opposed them. Even their enemies perceived that this was a work of God. Look at chapter 6 in Nehemiah, chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. Nehemiah 6, verse 15, we read, "So the wall was finished in the 20 and 5th day of the month Elu, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." It's interesting, of course. We can make a parallel if we want to. It's not the same, but as the building is being built out on Highway 93 North, I hope that all the people that learn about that here in our valley recognize that that is a work wrought of God. It's not a man-made thing. It is God's doing. God brought us the piece of property where we are building with an incredible... Ron would remember it. I know Juanetta is smiling ear to ear. We had... only $29,700 in savings, and land was going for about $150,000 for a piece like that. And this piece came up for sale for $29,500, and we thought maybe it was a mistake, so we asked the realtor to check it out, and the realtor confirmed it was legitimate, and the church voted unanimously to buy it. And we had $29,700, and the $200 covered our closing fees. Isn't that how incredible how God does that? It is a work wrought of God. He's begun it, he's continuing it, and we need to give him thanks and honor and the glory for that. Will it be built in 52 days? No, it's not about that, is it? It's about bringing honor to God more than anything else. It's not about the 52 days. That was incredible. And the enemies of Nehemiah and the people of God in that day recognized it was a work of God. Let's look at verse 27. They gathered the Levites together first and foremost. Nehemiah 12, 27, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. The Levites were a special tribe. They were the priestly tribe, if you will, of the Israelites. They had responsibilities over the tabernacle and then over the temple and the duties within the temple. They're mentioned separately here from others. They were part of this wonderful celebration. They were consecrated by God. And the book of Leviticus tells us a lot about that. Verse 28, then there were the singers that were gathered together. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Netophathi, and also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba and Azmaveth, and from the singers and builders, them villages round about Jerusalem. So they gathered the singers in. Chapter 7, verse 67 tells us how many of them were. Chapter 7, verse 67 says, "Beside their men servants and maid servants, of whom there were 7,337, and they had 245 singing men and singing women." This was a choir of 245 people. Alan? Yes. That would be fun. And I'm sure they were those who were trained, and certainly that would have been an awesome choir. Then they gathered from the fields and villages all round about. Verse 29 also says, also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba, as I read, they gathered the people in for this dedication and this giving of thanks, this thanksgiving for what God had done. They all came. They were mentioned separately in groups, but for future generations, we would understand everyone was invited in for this celebration. We make sure, in one way or another, to invite people to our banquet and our celebration of Thanksgiving each year. And certainly, if God lays it on your heart, invite others in on Thursday this week as well. Let's go to the second element. The first one was the people. The second, the purifying. This is an interesting part of it. They didn't just come as they were and leave as they were, as so many seem to emphasize in our day and age. The first group were the priests and Levites, verse 30, and the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. First of all, I'm going to talk about the priests and the Levites. For them to be purified was a very specific sanctifying process where they went through ceremonial action. They washed themselves. Their garments were washed in a special way. They wore their very best garments. The idea is to be set apart for God. They were purified. The priests and the Levites are mentioned first, and I believe the order is right. Those who are serving in that capacity should prepare themselves, and then others as well, following the example of the priests and the Levites. This is not just a physical purification. It's not just bathing two times or whatever. It has to do with making sure your heart is set aside to God, confess all your sins, and to determine to live for Him. It was a purifying that was special. How are you doing that way? Have you confessed your sin to God? He's the one who's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And me, certainly. Then, of course, as I just read, the people, everyone, also purified themselves. Verse 30, the people. How many people was that? Well, chapter 7, verse 66 tells us this. The whole congregation together was 42,360. It was 42,360 people made sure that they were purified and prepared that day for this Thanksgiving celebration in Nehemiah chapter 12. And then the gates. The gates even were purified. What was that all about? Let's look at verse 37 in our passage, Nehemiah 12, 37. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David, at the going up of the wall above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I, Nehemiah, after them, and the half of the people upon the wall, from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall, and from above the gates of the Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and above the tower of Hananiel, and the tower of Mia, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate, and so even the gate, the walls and the gates were purified for this wonderful ceremony. It was most certainly a spiritual purification. An example of that is in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, where we read, "Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths, and earth upon them. That is a way of confession of sin. And the fastings was a dedication to God, setting that time aside with nothing distracting them. Certainly it had to do with not even eating at that time. They were dedicating their lives and that time to God. Verse 2, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all the strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They separated themselves from those who didn't believe in the God of the Bible, and they confessed their sins. Verse 3 in chapter 9, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. This was a spiritual purifying of these people, a preparation for Thanksgiving. I challenge you this week to make sure you're prepared spiritually before God, that your sins are confessed, that your time is set aside for Him on Thursday, not just Thursday, but between now and then and beyond. This was a dramatic, festive gathering on the walls in Jerusalem that day. Let's look at the placement of them. I read some of this already. Look at verse 31, Nehemiah 12 again, back to chapter 12. Verse 31, then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed 2 great companies of them that gave thanks. Thereof, one went to the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them went Hosheiah and half of the princes of Judah. And they were standing on this wall in 2 companies, if you will, one to the right and one to the left. It was beautiful. It was breathtaking. And I read verses 37, but let me read on. Verse 40, so stood the 2 companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me, Nehemiah wrote. So the placement on the wall was breathtaking, and the princes, those who were nobles in Jerusalem, and the leaders were in 2 companies. And then the priests on the walls, verse 41. And the priests Eliakim and Maaseiah and Miniami, I said that wrong, and Micaiah and Eloiana and Zechariah and Hananiah with trumpets. They stood on the wall, and it was a beautiful, festive gathering. And then the musicians and singers were also upon the wall. Look at verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Now that is quite a Thanksgiving celebration, isn't it? Something that we ought to keep in mind. I trust that our Thanksgiving is not just kept to ourselves, but when we see somebody at the gas station, we're thankful to God and we express it so that others can hear it afar off even. They sang loudly, and it was heard afar off. Let's not keep it to ourselves. The purposes, verses 42 and 43 we just read, was to thank God. Several times, I hope you noticed, as I read through those, they thanked God, and God made them rejoice. The point of the passage is to give thanks to God, certainly. Sean, on Wednesday night, touched on Psalm 136. And verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto God, or the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. These folks gave thanks to God. That was the purpose in all of this. And secondly, was to show the world, not just to keep it to themselves. The first one was to give thanks to God in a way that was honoring to Him, where they were prepared to do so, and in their best, if you will, their best apparel, their best appearance, their best hearts being cleansed before God in confession, but also in the way they sang, all of it was their very best for God because he deserves that, was to give thanks to God. But then secondly, to show the world that God is God and that he is worthy of all our worship and all our honor and our thanksgiving, that there might be results from around the world. Thanksgiving, by the way, starts in the Bible. It's not something that was a presidential proclamation. Thanksgiving starts in the Bible, and it is something that has been followed in many countries around the world. I've wondered in all of this, where were the builders? Well, they were part of all the people. There were 42,360 of them, but we don't have a note of them standing in special positions on the walls. Where were they? Well, part of the point is they had finished this huge task in 52 days, but there's no glory that went to them. The glory all went to God, and that's the point of the passage. I trust that this week ahead, the glory goes to God and not any one of us. He deserves it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. I trust that this is a challenge for you. Maybe you've considered some things in regard to being prepared for Thanksgiving and how it ought to be expressed in your life that you haven't considered before. This is one of the most amazing, if you will, one of the most dramatic Thanksgiving celebrations that I've ever read about. And it is found right here in the book of Nehemiah when they dedicated those walls that God built. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are building in each of our lives. May we express thanks to you this week in a way that pleases you and honors you and brings honor and glory to you. Father God, I ask you that it would be about you and not about us, not about the food or the bounty per se. We can appreciate that and enjoy it and have a special time with family and friends, but Father God, I ask that it would point to you as we have a meal in the next half hour together, our church family Thanksgiving banquet. Lord God, I ask you that it would be about you as well. I ask you that too, that you would bless those who have prepared the meal for us, but we know that all of it comes from you. You are the one who provides it. And Father God, we do thank you for it. Thank you for our Savior Jesus Christ, who made all of this possible, that we might have this special joy together as believers in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave everything for us that we might be able to enjoy you forever. Father God, I ask you that that would be the case today as we enjoy this banquet together for your honor and glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to ask that we take our songbooks and sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. Last time we did this, it was a wonderful, wonderful sound that I heard even through my hearing aids. And there are three verses. I'd like to ask for us to stand, sing verses 1 and 2 with the piano, but verse 3, let's sing it a cappella, okay? Number 119, Great is Thy Faithfulness, standing, so you can get a full breath, and sing your parts if you can. Great is Thy Faithfulness, verse 1.
As ever.
Pretty precious, eh?
Amen.
Valley Baptist Church has multiple services. Sunday school is at 9:45 a.m. The morning service is at 11 a.m. The evening service starts at 6 p.m. There's also a Wednesday night Bible study at 6 p.m. Additional men and women Bible studies are also conducted on a regular basis. Other activities include monthly potluck meals, monthly men's breakfasts, and much more. Valley Baptist Church is located at 64627 Highway 37, and that's in Eureka, Montana. Our phone number is 406-889-3134. Thank you for joining us for this audio sermon.